Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome again to Food for the Journey. As we usually do, we look ahead now to the readings for the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. The first reading for this Sunday is taken from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Nehemiah, chapter 8, verses 2 to 4, 5 to 6, and 8 to 10. Again, I really want to encourage you, when you listen to this program, if you can, to have a scripture with you, or maybe you can get it from your phone, but really listen carefully. I actually encourage you, having the scripture on your smartphone is a great idea, and it's quick access, but I would encourage you to read actually from the Bible. You know that I've often described it, that Bible is like a beating heart. And when we hold it and we have the opportunity to reverence it, to kiss the page which we're reading before we read it and at the conclusion, it's just a beautiful act of humility and of reverence. And I would encourage you to consider it. The opening prayer for this Sunday, Almighty ever-living God, direct our actions according to your good pleasure, that in the name of your beloved Son, we may abound in good works. Direct our actions according to your good pleasure, that in the name of your beloved Son, we may abound in good works. So we ask the Lord to direct us, today. We've been actually talking about that in the course of this past week in different ways. But I really would encourage you to ask yourself the question, and really take time on this, how often do I really allow the Lord to lead me? Now, by that I don't mean I stand in a street and say, well, I can't move until somebody moves me in the direction I'm supposed to go. No, but what it does mean is that I say to the Lord, Lord, today I want to be your disciple and I want to follow you. And if I'm on my way to do something, that you want me actually to do something else, you want me to stop here or stop there, and I see it as an interruption, I think I can't do that. But sometimes God actually wants to bring us to somebody, and we have free will to say no. But if we're attentive to the Lord, there are times, and I don't mean now by going around every thought, every word, every action, oh God, what do you want me to think? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? No, we make the morning offering that all our thoughts, words, and actions of this day may be for the glory of God. So that's, make sure you pray the morning offering. But having prayed it, that's clarity. But I also think we can get so busy in the day that we forget who I really am and where I'm really going and what I'm really needed to do. And so it behooves us, I think, during the course of the day to stop periodically and say, Lord, am I doing what you want me to do? Am I doing it for the right motive? Just simple like that. Takes only, 10, 20 seconds. Sometimes it takes a full minute because God has something he wants to say. And he finally got a moment to get a word in edgewise. But I want to encourage you to put your life before the Lord. Let him direct it. That doesn't mean you're passive. You do what you know you should do. You go where you know you should go. But check in with him every so many hours and just say, am I doing what you will? Have I made a wrong turn here somewhere? Is there somebody or something you want me to pay more attention to? Always giving God the chance to not only direct, but redirect. All right, we take a look now at the first reading from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which consisted of men, women, and those children old enough to understand. This is a very, very, very important passage. I found it a passage that I come back to. These are people who had not heard the word of God in a long time. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, and standing at one end of the open place that was before the water gate, he read out of the book from daybreak until midday, in the presence of the men, the women, and those children old enough to understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. He opened the scroll so that all the people might see it, for he was standing higher up than any of the people. And as he opened it, all the people rose. Do we go through motions at Mass, just go through motions? Or are they reverent actions? Do I stand because I want to honor God? Do I kneel because I want to adore him? Do I sit in order to listen to him? Or am I just going through the motions with a total detachment between my body and my mind? How attentive am I? And it says here, he opened the scroll so that all the people might see it, for he was standing higher up than any of the people. And as he opened it, all the people rose. It's an act of reverence. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people, their hands raised high, and answered, "Amen, amen." Amen means so be it. Amen, so be it. Then they bowed down and prostrated themselves before the Lord, their faces to the ground. Ezra read plainly from the book of the law of God, interpreting it so that all could understand what was read. Then Nehemiah, that is His Excellency, and Ezra the priest scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to all the people, "Today is holy to the Lord your God. Do not be sad and do not weep." For all of the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. They realized, you know, some of the tears were for joy that they could hear the word of God, that they actually could hear it being read. Some of the tears were sorrow to see how far they had strayed. Do you shed tears when you're with the Lord? Do you shed tears of both sorrow and joy? It's not out of the realm of the possible, you know. If you really genuinely are entering heart, soul, mind, and spirit into prayer, you really can follow the Lord's lead. Make it personal in a sense. Most of our prayers are communal prayers, and that's very, very important. It's essential. But it does not exclude, or it does not put down, it does not eliminate our own personal relationship with the Lord. When the personal goes together with the communal, there's tremendous power before God. And so he says to them, all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. And he said further, "Go, eat rich foods and drink sweet drinks and allot portions to those who had nothing prepared, for today is holy to our Lord. Do not be saddened this day." In other words, we can hear the law again. We can hear the word. Don't be saddened by it. Even though you realize how far you are from it, we have it, the law. We have it again. We can hear it again. We can follow it again. We'll learn together. Do not be sad for this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. And that's so true. When you really begin to think of all that God has done for us, is doing for us, and has promised us, there's great rejoicing rises up in the heart. You ought to give vent to that in a certain sense. You really should, even in your home alone. Read the Psalms that speak of praise and of thanksgiving, that speak of victory in the midst of very difficult circumstances. Read the Psalms that put into words the own rising sense in your own hearts. Thank Him, praise Him, adore Him. Glorify Him. I mean, what's it going to be like when we stand before God in heaven and the angels are worshiping and bowing down and adoring, and all the company of the holy ones, the ones who have gone before us, the ones who are seeing the face of God? What's it going to be like if they're worshiping and prostrating themselves and thanking and singing and playing the tambourine and the drums and the pipes and the flutes and all that kind of thing? What are we going to do? Stand there and say, "Oh, thank you, God, yes." We're going to feel out of place, aren't we? Learn now. Learn now to worship Him, to thank Him, to bless his name. Use the Psalms as your guide. And we look at the Psalm 19, your words, Lord, are spirit and life. That's what we want. We want God's word to be spirit and life in us. And my time is cut short. I got speaking a little more than I expected on that first reading. The reading of Paul to the Corinthians basically is telling us, brothers and sisters, that we're all part of one body. You can't separate yourself and say, well, I'm the leg, but I'm going to go here, or I'm the ear, or I'm the heart, I'm going to go over here. We are one body, and we need to learn how to love the body, how to care for the body so it can grow and be strengthened. Take time and read that passage, Paul to the Corinthians, first letter, Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 12 to 30. Take time. And see the gifts that God wants to give us. If we're willing to be part of the body, if we're willing to serve the body, worship with the body, learn with the body, repent with the body, then there are many gifts God wants to give us in order that we might be a help to one another. And the gospel is the gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and then chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us about Jesus, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written. Now hear these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He sat to teach. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." Now that must have been a mighty, mighty shock to them. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah, and he's telling them that prophecy today is fulfilled in your hearing. He was saying that he was the fulfillment of that word. Have you known that fulfillment in your own personal life? To bring glad tidings to the poor, liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. That's what Jesus wants to bring us. And he was telling them there in the synagogue, must have been a shock, "Today, this word is fulfilled in your hearing. I am the Messiah." It was his revelation of himself. Brothers and sisters, pay attention, open your heart. Listen to the word. Follow it. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.